doing business.
Okay. This week we read the Sedra of Vayeshev. And of course, Vayeshev always coincides somehow with the days before Hanukkah. So I want to start this morning with the famous Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, my Hanukkah. This doesn't really begin the Gemara's discussion of Hanukkah, but it's towards the beginning of it as well. My Hanukkah, one of the famous questions in Shas, because it's hard to know what Chazal is driving at. What does it mean, my Hanukkah? What is Hanukkah? We know what a Hanukkah is. But the Gemara explains, my Hanukkah, the Tana Rabbanim. A rabbi thought, the Chochei de Kislev, on the 25th of Kislev, Yomei de Hanukkah, Tamnio, Inun. 8 days of Hanukkah begin. All 8 days share a number of halachic descriptions. Among them, we're not allowed to eulogize people on Hanukkah all 8 days, nor fast on Hanukkah for any reason. When the Yevonim, when the Greeks, the Syrians entered the Beis HaMikdash, they desecrated, they impurified all the oils. Ukishagova Malchus Beis Hashmonai Unitzachum, when the kingdom of the house of the Hashmonaim prevailed and defeated the Yevonim, Botu Velomotu Elopach Echad Tosheman, Sayamunach the Chosomos Hotain Goro. They searched and they found this one cruse of oil that was lying in a certain place with the seal of the Kohen Gadol. So the Hayyibola Hadrik El Yom Echad, it was only enough oil to light for one day. Anyone here has heard the story? Oh, you know the story. Oh, okay. What's that? I saw the movie too. All right. That's Nasa Bones, the Rikuman of Shimon Yomim. And a miracle occurred, and the oil burned for, or they lit from that oil for 8 days. They lit from that oil. By the way, you know, the very same question, why Hanukkah is 8 days? There are by now hundreds of answers on the question. If it is in fact they found the oil, how long did the miracle last? 7 days. Because they had enough oil for 1 day. Maybe it was 7 days. The question, why is the... Maybe one day we'll just go through 10 or 20 different answers to that question. But you see, one of the teachers, I think it's the teacher of Beis Yosef himself, explains that, based on the Gemara, Nasa Botnes, Vedliku Mimenu Shmona Yomi. I actually think that they put the jar, the oil in, and it lasted for 8 days, but literally, Vedliku Mimenu Shmona Yomi. They lit from it for 8 days. It is, they knew it took a week to make pure oil, with travel time from the Galil, etc. So they took 1/8 of that jar every day, and the miracle was that that 1/8 of oil burned all night. That was the miracle. Because it was used to be many shmoni yom, that's what the miracle was in the first place. Because 1/8 burned as much as a full jar would. Rishon aferes kiva'ul ma'asum yom tovim b'ha'ul v'odah. The next year, Chazal ordained that these days would be established as festivals, the Hallel Vodah, with the praise and thanksgiving of God. So Hanukkah is the quintessential Yom Tov on which we recite the full Hallel, full Hallel recited all 8 days. Hanukkah is the Sukkot, so you need to have respect. Now, alright, the story is pretty clear to everybody. What's unique about it is that if we say in the davening, part of the mention of Hanukkah in the davening is to say Al HaNisim in Hodah, in the next to last bracha. The bracha that begins Mazim Anachnu Loch and ends Atzov Shemcha Ulechon Ela Hodah. That's called the Birchas Hodah. The blessing of thanksgiving. In the blessing of thanksgiving, we add Al HaNisim. Al HaNisim, Al Kutam, Al Juros, Al Kiros, and the Chomos, Al Shishu, Al Hosseinu, Chayom Hem Bizman Hazeh. And in the text, the main Matzah show, Ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol Chasson Erodov, in the days of Matzah show when the Rabbanim came and they tried to oppress us and stop us from learning Torah, Lashifam Torah Zechol, who are real Nisutu with the Nechol, tried to prevent observance of mitzvot, v'chulu v'chulu. So what happened? So the Tzila says, God strengthened us, and this is Rasha Barach Neharabim. Von Malatol und Eichel, so Rastus is on, Dantos is on, the Pumptus mit Mosron. Mosron did you bring the Eichel of Sin and the whole text, how God enabled us to triumph in the battle against an army that was superior to us, more numerous than our small army, and certainly better armed and better organized. And then Racha came, Bo v'nechol zibay zechol, the Tirus mitzvah zechol, then your children re-enter the base of mitzvah, and they cleanse it. The legal nails, the chasas of zechol, and they lit the candles again, the flames, in your sacred courtyard. And then it just ends. The cover you made, Shmonas Mechanical Elu, Lodos Oh, Simcha Gadol. And they ordained these 8 days in order to praise and give thanksgiving. What's missing from Melanesia? Any mention of the Nesh Hemen? There's no mention of the miracle. It just says very simply that the Liku Neros, the Chatzah Tachacha, once again, they lit the menorah. One would think that in the Shiva, there would be a mention of the miracle. The miracle which the Gemara says, the miracle of my Hanukkah. You think so? Conversely, what's not mentioned? I should say that was also a miracle to make the Muhammad, correct? That a small band would be able to defeat the powerful Assyrian army of the Antiochus, which had dominated a third of the civilized world, such as it was civilized at the time. That was also a great miracle. So one would think that when the Gemara speaks of my Hanukkah, why we observe Hanukkah, it would mention the Gemara too, this great miracle on the battlefield. No. Yeah, the Gemara only says that the Avodah came to Echal and Timur Kalashronim, and very simply, Kishegavra Malchus Beit Hashmonai Mishachum, when the kingdom of the Hashmonai prevailed. How long did the war take? It took over 20 years. And it was a very arduous battle, with loss of life on both sides, until slowly the Hashmonim were able to weaken the Yevonim and drive them out of the land of Israel. That tremendous military victory against all odds is mentioned in the Gemara in such understated terms, which is to go and not to say Hashmonim. Conversely, the great miracle of the oil in the base of Mikdash is mentioned in such an understated way in the Tzira of Alanisim. They had little nerves, the chassis of Zephyr. They haven't light candles. They lit the menorah again. So why is there that deficiency? What's the difference between the Gemara story of Hanukkah and Alan Nisim's rendition of Hanukkah? And why does the Gemara only mention the Nes Shemen and Alan Nisim only mention the Nes of the Mokhama? Why is that? Okay. Now, we can answer, I'm sure you all want to answer this, but really the essential miracle, yeah, of course, what's the essential miracle, but really the essential miracle, of course, was the triumph over oppression, the fact that the Jewish people were able to defeat such a powerful army and reestablish our autonomy, our independence in the land of Israel. Why then was the Nes Shemen brought into existence? In order to verify to the people that it was the Yad Hashem, it was the hand of God that was behind the Nes Shemen as well. Fine. That's a wonderful answer. So why does the Gemara mention that? That's exactly what you want to say. That here you had this small band able to defeat the most powerful army in the world. And it's Hashem's Baruch Hu demonstrated to us that it was that he was masterminding the whole plot by giving us an explicit miracle, the Nes Shemen, the Beis HaMikdash. That's what Gemara doesn't say. So why then is there this discrepancy? Why does the Gemara only mention the Nes Shemen and not the Nes Mechama? And why does the Tzila in Hodah, the Chasadah, only mention the Nes Mechama and not the Nes Shemen? this we'll understand through looking at the Seder of Vayeshev, as paradoxical as it sounds. So let's see. What was the goal of the brothers? We've discussed in past years the source of the hatred, and you know, as difficult it is for us to explain or to understand, because we know so much, obviously, they're great people, and their calculations were on a level that we can't quite comprehend. And human nature is human nature, and they too, afflicted by certain emotions, are difficult to control. So they really had plans in three stages. First, in Lamed Zion, Pasuk Yud-Ches, they saw Yosef coming, Vayiru Osom Merachok, Uveteren Yigrav Aleihem, Vayisnaklo Osom Amisro. They saw Yosef from afar, and before he could draw near, already some of his brothers began plotting against him. Vayisnaklo. Nismalu Nicholim Ramumiyos, as he says. They were filled with the cleverness and strategies and almost insidious ways of dealing with him. Vayamur Yisrael Ochiv, one said to the other, so you know, Simon's lazy. Hinei Baal HaChalamot HaLozebo. The dream is coming. And you, of course, will recall from the first Aliyah, how Yosef's dreams had provoked their enmity. Zatov, they said, now, you have a chance. Let's go and kill him. And we'll throw him in one of the pits. And we'll say, a wild animal, an evil beast, consumes him. And we'll see what will become of his dream. That was the first plan. That plan, of course, is the most horrifying plan. To take him and kill him in cold blood and throw him into a pit and be done with him. That plan, as we say in the colloquialism, had no legs. Nobody supported that. As soon as Yosef approached, Reuven came and saved him from their hands, or, a better way to say it, to understand it, even before Yosef came. As soon as Reuven saw that was the plan, he saved Yosef without Yosef even knowing it. By Yomer, and he said, Lo not kenu nofes, we are not killing anybody. What's wrong with killing them? I ask you. Wrong. People, it's a tremendous sin. Worse than that, killing Yosef directly would give them a lingering feeling of guilt that they would never be able to overcome. If in the passion of the moment they justified themselves, all it would take is one moment in Yaakov's presence, which we see almost broke them in any event, but if they had killed him, they would never be able to live with Yaakov, their father. The guilt would be so overwhelming. By Yom Ha'olim Ruvain, Altus Bechudam, don't shed blood. Hashlicho Sol Abora Zeh Sheb HaMidbar, throw him into the pit, which is in the wilderness. V'yod Al Shish Bechubo, but don't set forth any hand against him. Raman Hatzilo Somi Yadam Ashivalovin. He did that in order to save Yosef and bring to return to his father. Reuven Zor we discussed last year. By Hikashev Boy Yosef, so now Yosef approaches his brothers, Elohov. By Afitulus Yosef as Kupanto, they stripped him of his nice tunic, the son of Shafatim Asheralov. By Tahu, by Afitulus Saboro, and they took him and they threw him, they tossed him into the pit. Saboro's Engelmein. The bar, the pit was empty. It had no water inside. So, in fact, what was their next deed? To throw him into the pit. In fact, that's what Reuven said. Hashlicho Sola Barza, throw him into the pit. So, on one hand, you could say he did it in order to kill time. Maybe come up with a better plan because he knew that the emotions were very raw. And he's trying to figure out some method of bringing Yosef back to his father in one piece. They threw him into the pit, and the Torah reassures us, at least on some level, the bull race in Bomayim. The pit was empty, it had no water. Of course, Rashi says, according to the Gemara, we'll get to it in a moment, the bull race in Bomayim is redundancy. If the bar is empty, Of course it has no water. Why does the Torah add Ainbo Mayim? Rashi says, Mayim Ainbo, there's not any water in it. Avol Nechashim, Akrabim, Yesho. It had snakes and scorpions. Snakes and scorpions were in the pit, in which they threw Yosef. So then the question becomes, if the snakes and scorpions there, he could die there as well. Bison, same thing. He could die there also. What's the difference then between this Reuven throwing into the boar and Shimon and Levi want to kill him outright with their own hands? So now you see there is a subtle thing. Because if they threw him into the pit and he dies there, he would be indirect. They didn't kill him. What killed him? Snakes and scorpions. It wasn't them. So psychologically, it would be much easier for them to deal with. And yet, even this was rejected. Because ultimately, though, what would be the proximate cause of his death? The fact that they threw him into the pit. Throw someone into a pit, you don't know what's there. So you are responsible in any event. That would be their act. Of course, they had a third plan, which comes later, Yehuda's plan. L'chuvanim kareno yishmeilim. Let's sell him. Because then, in fact, his life is not in jeopardy at all. And they're not the ones endangering his life. You see, if they kill him, they kill him. If they throw him into a pit, it's a life-threatening situation, inherently. But they're not the ones who are directly threatening his life. The Yehuda, in fact, had a better plan. They want to get rid of him. To put him in a non-life-threatening situation, as non-life-threatening as they could envision, and then what happens to him is what happens to him. Ostensibly, they'll feel no guilt. You see, in any event, man, not woman of course, but man, that's woman of course, a very powerful need to feel good about themselves. Very powerful. To justify, to rationalize one's actions, even to do things which they know are wrong, and yet to do them in a context in which they're justifiable to the self. So we feel comfortable with what we're doing. That is a very powerful phenomenon. And note, nonetheless, that this works. Because they all, except the Reuven, embraced Yehuda's plan, and yet, when they have to deal with their father, they also could not accept it. They're overcome by guilt. And as soon as the Torah overtook them in next week's Ezra, in the cage, what's that? For not having a better plan. That's right. Avala Shem Ranachra Rafinu, we're guilty, because we didn't listen to his cries from the board. So in fact, the plan succeeded in the sense that they averted what they felt was a danger to the family by getting rid of Yosef. But there was a progression from direct killing to indirect killing, to non-killing at all, just expulsion basically, removal from the scene, so we cannot threaten them anymore. Now, there's something of interest here. Pasuk of Dalit. Vayikachu vayashricho shaboro. They took him and threw him into the bar. So how is bar spelled? Hey, hey, reish, hey. Without the vav of bar, it's spelled chaser. So the Gra learns from here that they assumed that the bar was empty. That's why they threw him there. Had they known that there were Nechoshim and Akrabim there, he implies, but they would not have thrown him there. By a simple sahaboro, the bor is chaser. What's the next word? The habor. That bor is molay. Because in fact, the bor was not empty. The bowl is empty in terms of water, but it's not empty in terms of other things. Now this we can recognize. We'll discuss in a moment the bowl would be. So how do you ever throw some in the pit? I guess not. The first thing you want to do is find out what's there. How do you find out if there's water in a bar? Well, drop the coin. You hear a rock, you hear a sound, you know there's water is there. But if you toss a rock or a coin into a bar and there's no water, but they're Nechoshim and Akrabim, that's not going to make a sound. You're not going to hear that. So they very well might have tested the bar to see that it was raped. And from their perspective, it was raped because Ein Bo Mayim. But in fact, it had other things in it, which they did not know. Yes. Yes. Right. Were all the brothers on one page at the beginning? Certainly not. Certainly not. Because, well, look, I don't know, but you look at the beginning of the Sedra, the Hunaris, the Nazel, all the Sedra will punish the others. And Yosef tried to befriend the children of Bilhah and Zilpah because they were on the outs. Now look at it this way. The Bnei Leah were six. The Bnei Rachel, Bnei Bilhah, Bnei Zilpah were two each. So, in terms of numbers, the Bnei Leah were dominant. The only way they could be equated is to bring in the other Bonin. So the Bnei Zilpah, Bnei Bilhah, I don't want to say they were swing votes, you know, you'd say in modern politics, but there's no doubt they were not, because they were Bnei Rachel, they were not leaders, they were followers. The Bnei Rachel always perceived as followers, because Rachel was the preferred wife. And the Bnei Leah were more numerous than the older children, Bahar, Shimon Levi, etc. So that was the dynamic in the family between the Bnei Leah and the Bnei Rachel. And Binyamin who comes, he only talks to Yosef really. So in fact, what happened was that the Bnei Leah were the instigators. They were six. Who could oppose them? Only the Bnei Bilhah, Bnei Zilpah. They were four. And so I take it opposed. They weren't the prime movers, but they went along, and in the end, the Gemara says they all went along. Even those who went along said about it. But they all went along. So they all share in the guilt, but you can't say that Bnei Atzrachos were the prime movers in this event. All went along. We discussed this a couple of years ago, that even the Tzareis Kadosh Baruch Hu in their basis, what that means, right? You see that Bnei Atzrachos were involved, and they all shared the guilt in the end, but they're never the prime movers in anything because of their family situation. That's a Borei Engelmein. Agavur for the Grosso is the famous Grosso. Others say it too, but he says it in this context. That a Borei Engelmein, the Mayim Engel. What's Mayim? One of these darkens, Mayim is Torah. Ain't Mayim ala Torah. Hoi kol chanei l'chul ha-Mayim. Those are third, go to water. So it's Mayim Engel, Nechotim and Akravim Yeshva. What are the Chotim and Akravim? Snakes and scorpions, the girl said, those are bad mitzvahs. Those are bad character traits, emotions that people have. So my main book, you have a person who has no reah ha-Torah, if there's no fragrance of Torah individual, nature abhors a vacuum, and what's going to happen is that it's going to be filled, that vacuum will be filled with nechoshim ha-Torah, with bad mitzvahs. My main book, avu nechoshim ha-Torah yeshko. And you see, with avu neinu, you can even have a reah ha-Torah. You can even have some of the fragrance of Torah and still be afflicted by these bad midos. That's how difficult it is to acquire and to maintain good midos. So the girl assumes that they did not know. How do we know they didn't know? How do we know that? By the way, the Maral says that the pasuk remains exact and precise and correct as it is, that the bor reig ein bo mayim, that the bor as an entity itself was empty, that there was no natural substance that makes up a bor, whether it's water, which becomes part of a bor through underground streams, or wood or stones that become part of the substance of the bor. But nechotim and akrabim are not part of the bor. There's something added to the bor, but they're not part of the bor itself. So go away, game bow mine, it's true. That's also true. But how do we know? So now we go back to the Gemara in Shabbos. And the Chafal on the day. And listen to this very interesting discussion. Omer of Kahana, right after the Gemara we just quoted before, about my Hanukkah and some of the halachos. Omer of Kahana. Of Kahana said, Zoras of Nosim ba Minyomim Mishmeder Bichachim. The Nosan, the son of Minyomim, Darshan in the name of Bichachim, Nier Shil Chanukah, Shehinichol Lemala Michof Amo Meshun Amo, Shulah. kisuka ukimavoi. Near Hanukkah, which is placed above 20 amos high. So 20 amos say about 35 feet. If you put a near Hanukkah 35 feet high, you're not yotzei. It's puzzled. Just like sukkah. You can't have a sukkah where the walls are 20 amos high, because then you're not sitting in the shade of... walls, that's what it means, the top will be more than 20 amos high, because then you're sitting in the shade of the wall, not the shade of the top. And the boy also, lefty for an A, has to be lower than the 25, than 20 amos too. Now, Rashi says, Shulah, Shulah Shulah Be'eno L'mala Me'asim Amo, V'leka Pesume Nisa. If you have a menorah that's 100 feet high, the people don't see it. There's no Pesume Nisa. The whole point is to publicize the miracle. Too high, you can't see it. Over 20 amos, the Gemara says, is too high. Alright? That's why it's, I see in the city sometimes, people in apartment buildings, in high rises, had a menorah in the window. Alright? Frivolous, because you're not yotzei menorah in the window, which is so high. That's a classic case. You have to light on your cell phone. Because the Pesume Nisa is for those inside the apartment, not outside. Outside, if you're low sulfur, they ain't on. You can't see it. So it wouldn't apply. That's the Gemara says. Now the Gemara continues. Ram Rav Kahana. Another statement of Rav Kahana. It's Chosei Zaman Aleph now. Zarash of Nothim Bar Minyom and Mishmet of Tamkim, the same set of characters. Rav Kahana said, quoting Rav Nothim and Minyom of Tamkim, Maidich Siv, Rabbo Reik Ein Bo Mayim. What's the meaning of the pasuk that the pit was empty, it contained no water? So the fact that Torah says the bor is empty. I don't know there's going to have any water in it. What then is the Torah telling us? The bor lacked water? It didn't have any water, but it did have snakes and scorpions. Isn't that interesting? How did this drasha get into the middle of the stuff in the Hanukkah? Aside from the fact that it's in parts of Asia, which is also around Hanukkah time. But what is this drasha doing here? Granted, Rav Kahana said it also, and in the quoting of Nasa, in the name of Samson, but what's the drasha? The Torah Tanima here is a very interesting shot. The Torah Tanima says that, quote from Gemara Zeltzur, you see from in the Shechet Tumim, that whenever the Torah uses the language of Hashlocha, something was sent by a slave, or Hashlicho Shavora, or Vaitahu Vayashlicho Shavor, that type of Hashlocha is always 20 amos. It has to be something which is at least 20 amos. That's considered a somebody which is thrown with his sword. Vaslicho Shavora, the Tarshima learns from here that it means the bor here was 20 amos deep. Alright? If it's 20 amos deep, then in fact, did the brothers know what was inside? No. Because that's the klal of the Gemara posits here, that something which is l'mala mechaf amos, which is beyond 20 amos, that's out of the range of vision of a human being. To those shelter they ain't, can't see it. So therefore the Torah thing is now you see the Torah telling us that the brothers threw him into the pit, where as soon as they thought there was no water there, they just assumed it was empty, and therefore they made no attempt to save him. They did not think being in the pit endangered Yosef at all. That's the connection here, yeah.
As you were questioning before, why is this being stuck in the middle of this Hanukkah?
Okay. Sure. It sounds like this would have been last week instead of this week. Why's that?
Well, it's just because
Vayishlach
is more, they were sending it,
and Vayishlach is Yaakov sending the Malachim to
Esau. Right.
All right. Hashloch is this. Hashloch is with a chav, not a chav.
It belongs
in it. In terms of Hanukkah?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't belong in Hanukkah. That's true.
And it doesn't belong there either.
Right. Except now it's the Tartanima. That we just say the halach of Hanukkah, that near Hanukkah actually less than 20 amos. Why? Because you can't see beyond 20 amos. So now you see the bor with Joseph is thrown with 20 amos deep. In fact, the brothers, Reuben and Ben, did have a plan to save Joseph. because he threw him in a place which he was not endangered. Now thinking that he says, because Ein Bo Mayim, they thought there was nothing else that would endanger him. Now, Gauzov also says that they were. The Gros says that they, like Shifas Habora is written Chaser. They assumed that the Habora was Chaser. He agrees. The question, how do you know? Yeah, the word is Chaser, too. How do you know? And then the Habora, right, the bar there is Molay. How do you know it was Molay with Nochas Masrabin? That's Lubin. See, they couldn't see. They assumed it was, what's that? Yeah, the Gros said also, they assumed it was, by Shricha was still Habora. They threw him into a bowl which they assumed was Chaser. That's the Gros said. Oh, so as soon as they verified there was no water, they assumed there was nothing else. And that's what the Maral said, that in terms of the bar, we don't know what else is there, but the abor inherently contains nothing but water, atrium, avonim. That's part of the abor. Yes, that's right. The abor, right, Ein Bo Mayim. So now pertaining from their perspective, a safe refuge for Yosef. Well, you could throw a stone, throw a coin, and you hear there's nothing, nothing at the bottom. Yes, right.
I wasn't saying that
the didn't. Yeah, it's a Pasuk. So the way the word Habora is written in the Torah, it's written Chaser, it's missing something. It's missing a verb. Whereas the Habora right has a verb. That was the draw. Habora is Chaser, the assumed it was Chaser. But in fact, it was Habora, it was Moe with other things than water. Okay. The Hashlacha is a chaf, right? So that Hashlacha by Yatrifa is the throw, the chaf. That's the chaf. By Yatrifa, so the chaf means to sell. Different word. Yes, the Gemara in Talmud. Oh,
right.
I see, that's the Gemara in Talmud, why they make that derivation. But there are other places in Tanakh where the word is used. Yeah. Look at the Gemara Talmud. It's not our point. But if so, if all this is true, then you see Yosef endured at least some amount of time in a pit which had snakes and scorpions, which is not the most pleasant environment. As a matter of fact, it's an inherently dangerous environment. So dangerous that Tarsino quotes the Gemara Yevamos that if a man, Nasa Libor, Malaya Nachosim Akrabin, the man falls into a pit that's filled with snakes and scorpions, may even all of Semeis, Umatir and Ezishto, people can testify that he's dead. Even if they don't see him dead, you just assume he's dead, and his wife can remarry on that basis, Namaguna. Meaning they don't see the person dead. They just see the person fall into a pit in which they know there are snakes and scorpions. We assume he's dead, and that's enough.
They don't know.
Right, no, it's a Gemara saying. It's a Gemara saying. Now we're from a different perspective, Yosef's perspective.
They don't know what's
in there. They don't know what's in there. They assume nothing's in there. So Yosef was saying, all right? Yosef was saying. Now, how was Yosef saved from the pit of snakes and scorpions? An ace, a miracle. Now this miracle was mentioned in Vayikra. And Chazal say that, of course, after Yaakov dies, they go back to Eretz to bury him, they return to Mitzrayim, and what do they see? What do the brothers see? They notice that Yosef is not looking at them the same way that they did that he did before. Vayitznun tezvav. Vayiru achei Yosef kimeis avihem. The brothers saw their father had died. Vayamru, they said, we used to name Yosef. Maybe he'll hate us now. Maybe he'll act on his hatred. But Shev Yosef, one of his eskorah, Shev Gomalnu also. And he'll pay us back for all that we did to him. What changed? Rashi says, quotes the first part of the Medrash, that Yosef used to invite them for meals, and now he stopped inviting them for meals. What's that? Yeah, okay. Oh, it must have been good cheer, you remember. I don't know. But yes, he stopped inviting him. The Medrash says something else. The Medrash says that when they went to Yaakov's funeral, Yosef took a little detour. He had Yitzchak Amar, Holach to the Heitzitz, the Osha Habar. He went to gaze into the pit in which he was thrown, to look again at all the snakes and all the scorpions and all the danger that he had been rescued from. Om Rabbi Tanchuma, Hulo Nitzavein El Shem Shamayim. Yosef intended by his visit to the Bor the same Shamayim. He had the purest motive that he wanted to say a bracha, Baruch, to Asa Lunei from Makom Hazeh, thanking God, blessing God for performing a miracle for him at this point, for saving him from this dire predicament. The Hein Lo Amru came, but the brothers didn't know, as they never really understood Yosef's motivation, and they always impugned him, always assumed the worst possible intentions, the most despicable intentions of Yosef's part. So here too, they saw Yosef looking into the bar, taking a little side trip, and they said, now he's going to come down on us. It just frightened the wits out of them. That they thought, you know, they were in Egypt all these years, and 17 years already, and almost 40 years since the sale took place, and then he goes back to the bar. So that made them extremely anxious. All right? All Yosef intended was to say a bracha, to be more like a bracha, to thank God for saving him from that bar. And they just assumed the worst about Yosef. As an old acquaintance of mine, who's an older Talmud of Rabbi Chaik, Rabbi Bernie Fox, the Shiva in Seattle, he raised a very good question here. He said, this is the name that Yosef wanted to thank God for. I mean, think about it. What happens to Yosef after this? He's saved from the pit, granted, and then his brothers sell him into slavery to the Yishmaelim. And the Yishmaelim sell him a number of times. Yosef became a commodity. The Megonim, and finally, grew up Mitzrayim. He went down to Egypt. In Egypt, he was enslaved. Then he was incarcerated. And he had the dreams of the Saramaskim, Sarosim, at the end of the Gedra. Then he had a sudden elevation from the dungeon to the highest levels of government. All right? All of which is obviously the out of them. So this is the nation he wants to recount? He wants to bless God for? This is like a detail. A detail. But because of this nation, everything else happened. Sold and mistreated and abused and imprisoned and then elevated. You think if he wanted to commemorate a miracle, he commemorates his elevation, right? That was a miracle. He's in the bar for 2 years, lost and forgotten to the world, and suddenly within an hour he's the viceroy of Egypt. That's a good miracle. That is that's true. Without that mace, start, that's true. But certainly the grander events that happened with this being taken out of the bar. Yes, ma'am. Right. Don't jump ahead. We'll get back to that. That's right. So, Mechaber says in Shulchan Aruch, we have the Talocha, by the way, in Reishu Tzad, that if a person comes across a place where a miracle happened to them, they say bracha. Supposed to say bracha. If in a situation of certain death, and somehow it's averted, they have to say bracha. Now the question is, how do we define a miracle? How do we define a miracle in terms of bracha? The Mechaber says in fifth test, Yesh Omrin, She'ena Mevorech Al Neis, we don't say this bracha to also we make the Makom Hazeh, Ela b'nei shu yosin imino ga'olam, except for a supernatural name. Something which deviates from the natural order, something which is perceived as miraculous. Avo nei shu imino ga'olam is told us so, but a nei is part of the world, the way of the world, meaning a zaka in our terms, it's providential, the Mechaber gives an example. He don't say bo ganavim balaylo, who voli de satkono the mitzol. Burglars broke into your house in the middle of the night, God forbid, and you came to a situation of harm, and you were saved. Uchayote bozeh. But you know, in our terms, we say it was a miracle. It's not really a miracle. There's no deviation from nature. Something happened in the natural order, and you were saved. So in such a case of a miracle, in natural order, ain't no chayzavarech. You don't say this bracha of she'osu inesh makamazeh. But the Mechaber adds, the yesh cholek, there are those who differ, the tov levarech below asara shemu malchus. There's someone who will make the bracha without mentioning Shemu Malchus. Without mentioning Shemu Malchus. They'll just say, instead of bracha to Hashem, we're going to call him Shemu Malchamazah. But just say bracha, bracha to Hashem, Shemu Malchamazah. Alright. I think I touched once. I had such an event when I was a child. I was 11 years old, and I was with my parents, first time in Israel, and we were leaving Masada, and I was running down the path. Trying to get back to the bus, I guess that's something to drink there. I was running down and I tripped on it and started heading to the, I headed over the cliff. I was just down a thin rail. So as I was heading through, I just reached up my arm and I grabbed the rail in the back of me to hold on so I should not meet a rocky face. And indeed, I know kids are like this. So next time I went back, I tried the same thing again. No. Next time I went back, so I said a bracha, bracha asin yesh makam hazeh. I happened to lift up my arm to grab the rail so I shouldn't go over the edge. So in fact, these things happen in people's lives. The Gra and the Magen Avraham both hold, what do you mean yesh cholik? What's the chiluk? A nes is a nes. A nes has a certain definition. The definition of a nes is something which is supernatural. Something which defies the natural order. If something does not defy the natural order, so we say, Hagomel. People bench Gomel for that. What's that? In a pit? No. You see, you do. Because that's what the Gemara assumes. A man who falls in there is dead. Even if there's no evidence that people saw him dead. The assumption is that he's dead. It's like going into the lion's den. You'll tell me, yeah, you're in the lion's den, you don't always die, right? Yeah, Daniel didn't die, right? Or Roy, Sid Roy didn't die. He's more pretty badly, though. So the norm is to go into the lion's den, you're going to be lunched. That's the norm. But same thing with Nechashim HaKrab. So you see him. The question asked before, Yosef's elevation to be the viceroy of Egypt, that was an astonishing turn of events, for sure. That was providential. That's how Shachar process. That's not an egg. That's God working through the natural order in sometimes very strange and unexpected ways to produce a certain end. That's what a Shachar does. A nace, though, Yosef saw, is this bar. Holach v'hesed shlosa bar. He knew, the brothers didn't know what happened to him. Yosef knew in that bar, you know, we can even argue that it was a tremendous source of strength and encouragement to Yosef over the years, that he himself had witnessed this miracle, that he must have been saved for a certain purpose, a particular purpose. So imagine how that encouraged Yosef through all those dark nights. In the house of Potiphar, in the dungeon where he spent so many years. I mean, jail is jail. It's not pleasant. But to be in a dungeon with no one else, he spent a solitary, like Yosef was, 2 years after he thought he had his ticket out, the Saramaskin, so nothing could be more depressing than that. And yet, he may have had this encouragement. So also we need to walk on Mazar, that he would say. So when the first opportunity presented itself, to come back to that bar, Holach v'heitzes osabor, so he should be mishabeach Hashem. That's what the brothers didn't know. He was mishkazim Hashem Shemayim. Why? He wanted to bless God, thank God, express his gratitude. But they didn't know that there were nechashim hakrav in the bor. So therefore they just imputed him the worst possible motivation. But he's looking to get them. And they said, we used to name him Yosef. Now he's going to get us. Now he's going to attack us. Our father's dead. There's nothing inhibiting him. Just like, you know, Esav said, Yitzhu Yemei Ezel Avi, I'll wait for my father Yitzhak to die, then I'll get Yaakov. So now they said, it was thought that Yosef was another Esav. Now that Yaakov is dead, they'll get him as well. Anyway, as Joy pointed out so impetuously, that really is the same breakdown that we have on Chanukah as well. That's the difference between the Gemara in Shabbos and Al HaNisa. The only miracle which was supernatural was the Neshama. The Neshama, the miracle of the oil. So when the Gemara says, my Chanukah, the Gemara is expressing to us what's the source of the whole Chag, what's the source of Chanukah, the source of all the mitzvahs, what makes it into a day that has a tzuas Yom Tov, Hallel, Hagar, Mitzvahs Nes Hanukkah, Tzeth, Tzum, and Isra, that's the name for the Shema. Because that was the supernatural miracle, and that's what enables the Jewish people to claim that this, that's what enables the Jewish people to claim that this Yom Tov is a special Yom Tov. But Al HaNisim is part of the Birkas Hodah, it's part of the Bracha of Hodah, the blessing of thanksgiving in the Shemon Esrei. So that's Hashacha, that's the Derech HaTeva, that's Bracha Osuri Neis Mokom Hazeh. You can say the Neis was the Shema, but the Nochama is Hashacha. Hashacha is also a fantastic notion, but that's not the same thing as the Neis. In Hodah, we don't even make any mention of the Neis Shema. The essence of Hodah is a salvation from oppression. They try to destroy us and destroy the Torah. And God saves us from that. That's why we're thanking God. The fact is, if there was an Eshemen, if it was not an Eshemen, it didn't matter one way or the other. The main miracle, of course, the main salvation, was not that we saved from the Noah from darkness. The main salvation says, call yourself a Torah. That's what we saved. We redeemed the land of Israel from the hands of the enemy. That was the essential the essential nes, so to speak. The nes nista, the primary reason for the celebration of Hanukkah. We're able to overcome the enemy. Rabban Biadniatim, the numerous, were defeated by the few. That's the essential story of Hanukkah. That's in Hodah. In Hodah, there's no reason to make mention of an Eshemen, because Eshemen is not really a cause for Thanksgiving. But on tomorrow, that's the cause for Chag, and that's what's meant.
But was it called Hanukkah back then? I mean, when they say now that Hanukkah, the first part, the Chanu,
right,
that we rested because we finished the war.
Chanukateh, that's correct.
That it falls out on Chateh.
Right.
So, is it really
good
like
question. That's what Gemara says. Two things. First, my Chanukah, Rashi says, Al Ezenes Shiva'uha. So, which miracle was the festival made? So, the festival itself was ordained because the Neis Shemen. Well, no, because the Neis Shemen it was ordained. Chanukah is a Chanukah from the Mizrach too, the Chanukah from Mikdash. The name itself is equivocal enough, it can apply to both. It's true. But the question of Gemara is, which miracle was the primary miracle? Which event? Which event is the primary event? No. Which event was the primary event? The event of the oil, or the event of the Muhammad? That depends on, it's a good argument. That depends on the perspective. In terms of the creation of the Yom Tov, the creation of the Yom depended on the Neis Shemen. That's what Gemara says. The Lomot of Hashem and Sayyid Muna for Chosun for Gado, right? Nasa Bonez, the Hidlik Mimetu, Shmoni Yomim. But in terms of Hodah, why do we feel thanksgiving on Hanukkah? From the Tzila. Why do we feel thanksgiving? We feel thanksgiving because the menorah was lit for 8 days through the food? Or we feel thanksgiving because we were saved through the auspices of the Hashmonoim by the hand of Hashem? Yeah. Well, you can make the question even stronger. The question is, why would you make a holiday for a miracle? The fact is, you see, one second, you see that there are many miracles that take place in Yeshua Tzelkin, which there are no Yom Tovim. Okay, so now you ask the question. What's the answer? That's my department. I still pick it up in 2 weeks. That's right. I'll tell you why. I'll tell you the answer is they wouldn't make a chag just a halachah just for miracles. They wouldn't do that. Shemesh did your own dome. Berech Enoch on your own. It's a wonderful event. A miracle. Sun stood still. You're not going to make a chag over that. But the Gemara does not ignore the nation of Hama. The Gemara says, Ushtegovra mafus bechachmonai unitrachum. When the victory came, in other words, which is the essential nace? So, each nace, like I said at the start, each nace really reflects on the other. If there was no victory in battle, the nacema would not be commemorated. But if there was only a victory in battle, and there was no supernatural event verifying it, there'd be also be no chag. What's that? Because you don't commemorate the victories in battle, you see, Yeshua won many victories. David won many victories. Yes, that's a good question, and you see the Gemara Megillah deals with that question. Because the Gemara says that Esther said to the Chachamim, Ra'uni Lagara. And they basically said to her, why? Alright? So through the Megillah, they were to show the Nate Mister. That's why. But Purim was not an obvious case. I think the Gemara has that question there. Chazal were not sure if Chazal were reluctant to make Purim itself a variety of reasons, but that's one of them. What happened? So Esther said, no, I'll say exactly what happened. And that is, one second. Ask the question. Ask the question. Don't be afraid of the answer. So at the end of the Megillah, you see, the Megillah itself says, Vatichtov Esther Hamalka Basavichai with Mordechai Diyakov Tokev, Eishigas Hapurim Azos HaSeniz. Alright, they sent the Svarim out. She sent out the request, if he made it to Yom Tov, so Esther's ordinance validated these regulations, and it was recorded in the book. What book was it recorded in? Tanakh. That's what it's talking about. It wasn't an obvious thing that Purim should be a holiday. Esther had to ask for it, they had to make a case. Esther mortified. When they made their case, other things also, they're still, you know, serving Achatzenero, she was in Golos, and many factories. But it wasn't obvious because it wasn't a name. So he, yeah. Right. Oh. Right. Yes, it's true. That's true. That's exactly the point. Are there cases in history of small armies defeating larger armies? Happens all the time. Happens all the time. Happens in Vietnam. Happens elsewhere. Happens all over. That's correct. So the why is the chag then? There's no point. That's right. The Nesemen put it into a context that it wasn't Yehuda Maccabee's superior tactics that did it. It wasn't that the Yevonim lacked motivation to hold on to the land. A different dimension here, and that's recognized. Because Gemara says the foundation of the chag is the nation. But in the tefillah, the essence of Odah, the primary benefit that accrued to the Jewish people was the victory. The victory. It was the victory which is the cause of Odah, not the nation. And that's why Odah doesn't mention the nation. There's no need for it. But the chag itself is premised on the nation. That's the nation of the chag. And that's what, that's the difference in the Gemara and the Tzimah. Yes, it's completely different. That's the only Mitzvah on Purim that we have, essentially, is Megillah. Other things came out of it. But Megillah is the vehicle of testimony for there. To tell the story.
Yeah.
Yeah, pro that, what's the mitzvah of Hanukkah? It's also testimony. So how do we do it? Yeah, it's not enough. That's what we're saying there, Havalu, because there has to be a text also for testimony. So. But in fact, especially as a children at home, you say, Haner Torah is not sufficient. You have to tell the story of Hanukkah too, on the standing edge. Tell over the tears that. Go back to the Gemara. From her relates to Vayesha and Prophecy. Tell us exactly what happened. That's the Lefash Semanez. You know, the whole world thinks, why is Hanukkah? Because of the menorah burnt for 8 days. It's partially true. It's not completely true. If you think that's true, you missed the whole point of Hanukkah. It's the Nesha Mechama. That's our Nisha. That's the name Machashio Ben Yochan Targaro. That's the whole thing. There's an attack on Torah, an attack on Jewish nationhood. That's what was saying. That's what was the game. That's really why we're filled on these 8 days with thanksgiving and praise for God's Baruch Hu. That is really the essence of Hanukkah. Okay. Thank you very much. Happy Hanukkah. Please.